from the landing strip is 342nd edition of Houston Wrestling Radio. This is Abel.
This is Chris.
And thank you so much for tuning in today, guys. We very much appreciate it. If you are watching us live, then go ahead and log in right now on your YouTube or your Google account. And then that way you can chat along with us in the live chat. And I'll pull you up right here on the old handy-dandy smartphone. And if you feel like asking us questions, fact-checking, talking shit, just saying hi, whatever, I'll take a look-see, and I'll try to involve you as best as I can in the show.
Oh, God.
And he could do that now, too. Yeah, we have it on both the sides, mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, if you're not watching us live, that's okay. You can still interact with us on Facebook, facebook.com/HoustonWrestlingRadio, or on Twitter at HWrestlingRadio, or just drop a comment down below right here in the old YouTubes.
So, welcome to the garden party, my man.
Garden party.
Yeah.
Party in the garden.
Yeah. Raw and SmackDown back-to-back nights at MSG. Mm-hmm. Awesome place to watch a wrestling event live. I've been there twice already. Hopefully I'll add more to that. But what's a garden party without a little bit of the bubbly? Oh, hell yes.
Damn it, I don't have dingy. That would have been a perfect ding moment. I left dingy at home.
One word to describe All Out. Oh, that's good.
Damn, I knew you were going to ask me this, and I think after watching All Out, I had a word, but I forgot it.
Because it's been a week and a half.
It feels like it's been a year, but that's just me and my crazy life. You give me a one word, and I'll catch up to you.
It was a sequel.
A sequel.
It was good. It was really good. Mm-hmm. There are not many sequels mm-hmm. that live up to the hype of the original.
Okay.
RoboCop 2, I like a lot. But nothing's going to top RoboCop 1.
Okay.
What
about RoboCop 3?
Shut the fuck up.
Ah! Ding!
Ninja Turtles 2, Secret of the Ooze was a great film.
Yeah.
Still doesn't top the original Ninja Turtles movie.
Yeah.
No, I'm trying to call it down the middle, seeing as I'm one of the guys that was at the original last year. I said it last year that there's a charm for it being the first event ever and that it's going to be hard to maintain that charm. I'm not sure if it was a carbon copy.
Yeah.
But it tried its best to be its own thing because, again, that was the beta test.
Okay.
All Out is an official AEW show. The fucking fourth one they've done, you know? All
right.
So I try not to put that in the back of my head. That being said, not comparing it to last year's, this was a pretty solid show.
Okay.
It was a pretty solid show. You remember your word?
No, but I'm going to steal one of yours. Okay. Solid. I think it was solid too. I don't think I was blown away at any point. There was some stuff that I really liked. There's one thing in particular that I'd like to kind of dive into. Do you mind?
Go for it, man.
Into matches already?
Lead in.
Pre-show.
Oh! We're going to pre-show already.
We're going to pre-show.
And this is on the plus side.
No, positive side.
Okay. Go for it.
Match of the week pick.
What the duck?
Private show? Private Party versus Angelico and Evans. Ding.
The finisher, huh?
The finish, yes. But all the other stuff they were doing in between, too. I really like all the innovative offense that I saw out of, well, Private Party, and I wasn't expecting to see. I guess my bar was so low because I was like, no, I like Angelico and Evans, Private Party there, watered down Street Profits, I guess, you know, it's unfortunate that they have the same gimmick, but whatever, let's see what these guys got, right? And throughout the match, I was like finding differences to differentiate Private Party and the Street Profits. And I think one of them was you had one guy dressed up as an NBA star. You have another guy dressed up as something out of a video game. And I don't know what video game, but there is a certain video game, and I hope you...
Are you talking about the guy with the mohawk?
With the mohawk and with the little the little tail.
He's got the hair from the guy in Thor Ragnarok. There was a bad guy that turned good. He had that hair.
No, I think it's more of the carnival petticoat thing that he also wears, where it splits down on the coattail there too. There's something there that's familiar, right? I can't place it.
You mean the Black Monopoly Man? But instead of collecting money, he collects Drake albums?
Yeah, I don't know, but he reminds me of someone, and I can't put my fucking finger on it. I think it's a video game character, but I could be completely wrong. But I remember some...
Chuck Liddell?
A charismatic black man, just like him, who would wear something like that, petticoat thing, but I can't place it. But either way, whatever...
Junkyard Dog?
Whatever, no. Whatever that is, it's reminiscent, but it works, and I like it. And like I said, the other guy, he just looks like he's just a straight-up NBA player with the... But I like that they were color-coordinated as well. So, I don't know. I think I'm pulling some differences between them and the Street Profits, you know? And I kind of like it. I dig them. Maybe they do Street Profits better than the Street Profits. But that's just introduction for myself. My ignorant self, not watching them previously, introduction for myself on the character. The match itself, I was very impressed with the tandem offense. The Hurricane Rana into another Hurricane Rana, same guy, flippy floppy back and forth. That's really cool. I've never seen that before.
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting it out of them either. And Helico and Evans, I expect that kind of stuff out of them. And Helico and Evans and being pissed off at the end of the match. I like it. I like it a lot. Especially some other thing that we had noticed here because of way that they're treating the wins and losses. That shows up right next to their little name right there.
When they wanted to, it wasn't consistent.
It wasn't consistent. You are correct. Yeah. But I kind of like that. Wins and losses matter. So they're going to take it a little bit more personal when they lose. And I said, Helico and Evans. And goddamn, they should be winning stuff, but they haven't won anything. So they're frustrated. And they're trying to make a statement on somebody that just made a statement on them in a fucking pre-show that I shouldn't care about, but I do. Ding.
How much of that was the fact that the women's battle royal that preceded it had mostly the same problems as last battle royal at Double or at All Out? I mean, not at a Double or Nothing.
I think I might have a difference of opinion from you on this. I don't think that there was a whole lot of problems with that particular match. I think the big question mark going into that match is how are these stupid fucking rules going to work with the five in and then the last one being the Joker and this and that. I kind of enjoyed it. Once you're able to kind of wrap your head around what these rules are.
You explaining the rules was more confident than last episode where I was explaining the rules to you and you were flabbergasted.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, now that I've seen it, now I'm like, oh, I get it. I dig that. I dug the rules, so I was okay with it. But I didn't see a whole lot of, like, glaring flaws that maybe you want to bring up.
I mean, think the flaws on my end, so I understand that you're trying to move the match along by having these girls come out. But this is the fourth official pay-per-view from AEW.
Yeah.
Half the people don't know who half these girls are. Mm-hmm. So it helps to at least when it's time for a certain suit to come in, one person at a time, even if they don't get theme music, at least have their name somewhere on the screen so that we know, oh, the one with the flowers is that one, the one from the other country is that one, the one that's bald is that one, the one that's big is that one, and the other one that I need to know because she has that fat ass is that one. But I don't know. Yeah. Like, I need visuals. Wrestling is visuals.
Yeah.
I need to see something so that I can label these women and know who I'm cheering for, right. Who I'm booing for, who I'm Googling when the show's over.
Okay.
You know? A lot of the camera shots
were... Some of that falls on commentary.
Yeah. The other problem that, again, like you just mentioned, what falls on commentary, another is part of the production aspect. A lot of the important falls were never captured on video. Dang. I have no idea how freaking Brandi Rhodes got eliminated. I had Awesome Kong and somebody else got eliminated like within the 10 seconds before the last suit of people came in. That standoff of the four, ODB, Awesome, Nyla Rose, and somebody else.
Mercedes Martinez?
No, it was one of the more bigger women. But there were four of them. And at that point...
Havoc.
I think it was Havoc.
Okay.
And then, oh, by the way, let's start the countdown clock for the next suit. So you don't even have a chance to soak in that image that in itself is a fucking...
Okay.
That's something you want to drink in, man.
Yeah.
No pun intended, pun intended. Because those are moments that you want to sell your show on, that you want to sell your brand on, that we don't just have... like the Playboy models and the Hooter girls, we actually have girls that you can differentiate from ODB, who's a little bit on the thick side, but she's got the camo, she drinks beer, she's always tapping her tits to make sure that they're still there. You have Awesome Kong, who just like, she's a star, dude. I'm not talking about professional wrestling. She's on Netflix. She's on a show that's on a third season already.
Yeah.
You know, you have somebody like Nyla Rose, again, transgender man, now women competing in the women's division, who won the fucking thing. You know, it's moments like that that you want people that are watching to see. That's what stands out from WWE. That's what stands out from Ring of Honor. That's what stands out from New Japan. And they didn't give – there were a lot of moments like that that weren't given the chance to breathe.
Yeah.
And a lot of that falls on the production side.
Okay. Okay. I could see.
But I like that in my opinion, I think the right woman won.
You think Nyla was the right one?
Okay. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Okay. Especially
afterwards, Riho winning.
Okay.
Again, Riho won the triple threat, the last show. So now Riho's got to beat this chick one-on-one. And does like, I got this.
I'm not sure if the right woman won.
Who would you have picked?
I don't know. That's my problem.
Especially now that we saw all 21 people.
Yeah, I mean, it's really easy to say Baker. It's really easy to say Baker, you know? And that's the reason why I'm not saying it should have been Baker. But I feel like it should have not been Nyla because... Now, this is going to be a different take than probably what you've seen on the interwebs and Twitter. Everybody on interwebs and Twitter are like, oh, she's not a woman because she's transgender. She's really a man. No, fuck that. I'm okay with that. Yeah, okay.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, she's a woman. She's a woman. Yeah, whatever. Okay, fine. We're going to go with that. The thing I kind of have against Nyla is that I don't really like her wrestling. Really? I don't think she's that good of a wrestler. Like, hey, you're trans? Awesome. You're representing that. Awesome. Politically, you're making a fucking statement. The first trans wrestler, and she's going to go and this and that. Cool. And I think she kind of sucks, you know, in ring wise. Like, I get her story. Her story is badass. Her story is
unique.
Cool. Unique. Yeah. Like, oh, wow. First trans, bro. Oh, great. But she ain't no Mickie James. She ain't no Trish Stratus. She's not really that good.
You look at her. She's not supposed to be a Mickie James. She's not supposed to be a Trish Stratus.
She's not a Kong. She's not a Jessica Havoc. If you label her as a thick girl, a big girl, whatever, she's kind of clunky. She's kind of clunky. She's not smooth. And she's supposed to be a power game, but I don't see too much of it. I just see kind of like stiff, and not in the good way. Stiff like, oh man, it hits hard. Like stiff like she's not fluid with
She did the cartwheel thing on the apron to eliminate the last two people, and I kind of understand where you're coming with this because I feel like watching her wrestle with the matches I've seen so far. I'm not a historian of AEW so far.
Well, nobody is right now.
From what I'm seeing so far, it feels like she's still trying to find I don't mean this in a bad way. She's trying to find herself. She's trying to find her moveset.
Fair.
She's trying to find her rhythm, you know, because she already has enough to separate her from everyone else. She could be a carbon copy of Kong or of ODB or of whoever.
Yeah.
And she'll be fine. But I feel like she
feels more of a shorter carbon copy of Great Khali to me.
Ouch!
I don't think that she moves very well. I don't. And I
That's a statement.
I want to cheer for her. I want to be, because like because again, because of the statement of her story, who she is, the fact that she is transgendered and all that, like that's really cool story, but the wrestling doesn't back it up right now. She's either super green, if you look at it that way, she's just like super green, or she ain't that green, but that is never gonna turn, you know, ripe, or like Kali. So it's like one of the two. And I kind of put my finger on it. I hope it's that she just needs a little bit more time in the ring and she'll become a little bit more fluid. But
or as of right now, we're 3 weeks away from them debuting on TNT. Mm-hmm. Are the positives enough for the casual viewer to be hooked at the same time camouflaging the negatives?
And see, that's the interesting part. I think her story, the controversy surrounding the story, the politicalness of it, is going to bring a lot of negative and a lot of positive eyeballs. You're going to have a lot of good old country boy redneck wrestling fans that wants to see the new wrestling. It's like, that ain't a woman, that's a man. And okay, Hyohi, great. But then you're going to have a lot of LGBTQ plus folks who like, well, tune
and
in.
And the people that support that.
And the people
that support that. I'm not LGBTQ, PZX.
Right.
But I'm
you're not like, you know, you're going to have a lot of folks that are going to tune in and be like, hey, cheers to you. That's awesome. Hey, I'm going to support you. And I want to be that way too. Just because of all of that stuff, I want to support her. And at the same time, I got to keep it real. As a wrestling fan and as a wrestling critic, mm-hmm. I don't really like her wrestling.
Right now.
Right now. Maybe she could get better, and I'm going to hope that she does.
And again, weekly repetitions on television are going to help a lot of these people that we don't know.
Yep.
That, because she's probably one of the few people that I have somewhat that kind of criticism.
Yeah.
That they don't look like they're there yet. But again, we've only seen them four times.
If she could become Kong,
eventually. That's going to take time. That's going to take some seasoning.
Yeah.
She missed it on the grill for a bit.
If she could become Kong, now I'm like, okay, cool. If her wrestling can catch up to her amazing ass story, then I'm like all fucking in, no pun intended with her.
Because we've been fawning on Lucha Underground for seasons here, and not all those guys were good in the ring, no, but their story was enough to carry their attention to us.
But they also did a really good job of accentuating the positives and hiding the negatives on there, even when it came to in-ring. And I think that's something that they're not doing with her. Like, they're trying to pass her off as
legit
Ivar of the fucking Viking Raiders, like 305 Live, she's big and she's agile, but she's also strong. And, like, she's not agile and she's strong. She ain't that strong.
She appears strong.
She appears strong. She ain't that strong. You know, so it's like, I don't know. On the flip side of that, I want Rio to win. I want Rio to beat her fucking ass because I like Rio a lot more as a wrestler. As a wrestler.
I would disagree that I would actually want Nyla to win. However, for the men, I think we need that balance and have little cute Riho.
Okay.
Wearing a belt that probably is not even going to fit her.
Ding.
She'll be dragging it along.
And see, the interesting thing about that is, are you going to keep Nyla a face? Because if
I don't see Nyla as a face. She's one of the big bullies.
Is she a tweener? I don't think she's a bully, though. I think she's a tweener.
In the beginning, she was.
I think they're trying to get that positive press of, hey, look, the first trans women wrestler,
because you don't want to start her off as a heel and project that every LGBTQ are evil.
Yeah, because that's what's gonna
that's
happen.
Touchy. That's touchy.
Because
shit.
Depending on how they push it, how AEW pushes it, it could go from, wow, this is a cool story, they're giving a trans person a chance, and it goes the other way where, like, hey, look at this trans person, you should boo them because they're trans. Kind of like how WWE would sometimes handle the foreigner gimmick. Hey, they're foreign, you should boo them. Whereas, hey, they're foreign, but they're really cool. It's the difference
between... We're in the upside down with AEW. Guys like, from New Japan, like Finn Balor, like AJ Styles, like Kenny Omega, where they're the bad guys, and as much evildoers that they do, we still like them because they're fucking badass, and they can go.
Yeah.
So you can book Nyla as a bad heel, but eventually, if she does her work so well, we're going to just cheer her regardless.
You got a really fine line that you got to tiptoe with her because this could be really great or really bad.
And now we got sponsors.
Or both at the same fucking time, depending on who you are sitting at home. You know, this is going to be interesting, especially considering how much wokeness AEW is trying to portray. Oh, we're going to give tickets to our disabled fans so they could come to the show. We're going to be okay with gay folks and LGBTQ folks and all this and that. But if you kind of go the other way with her, she's really a man and she's cheating, so she's a heel. Yeah. No, that's not going to. So I don't know, man. God damn it, AEW, I hope you handle it right. But even if you handle the booking right, God damn it, Nyla, you got to get better in the ring.
And even if worst case scenario, if the two trains are on the same track headed for a collision, I'm going to be watching.
Okay, cool. And it's funny that this is the thing that we're talking the most about, which is kind of the point, right? Controversy creates cash. And there's a lot of controversy surrounding her being potentially the first AEW women's champ. Now, yes, I do want Riho to win it.
Pac Omega, go.
That was a good-ass fucking match. It's not my match of the week. I still maybe I'm suffering from expectation levels being met or exceeded. This match met my expectation level.
As high as it was.
As high as it was.
Yeah. The match, you're at a nine.
The match for the Broken Down Street Profits, like that wasn't very high and it so totally exceeded it. So that's why I was asking you before we started recording. Is there any match that you might want to argue for that you could convince me? Just tell me yes or no, and you kind of give me a, I don't know. Because this match probably stood out a little bit more, and I kind of want to say, well, this met my expectation. I thought it was going to be a 9 or a 10, and it was a 9 or a 10. And maybe my fucking blinders are, because I thought this other match was going to be about a 4, and it wound up being 8. So now I'm like, oh, God, it's so great. But it didn't. Really, it's an 8 where the other's a 9. I don't know, man. But
the problem in general, before we go into detail with Pac and Omega, is that this was a problem that we were going to have before we recorded, before the week happened, because we have New Japan, All Elite, and NXT UK having shows that same weekend.
Same day. Or same weekend.
Same weekend. Same day, basically, even though they taped that Japan show and had it on demand, and by the time it was on demand, I was already neck deep in a whole bunch of horse shit.
Neck deep in a whole bunch of horse shit.
Yep.
That's what he said.
But, dude, Pac and Omega, man, where do I start? I did not see that finish coming. Nobody in the audience saw that finish coming. That was one of the few moments where I wish I was there. Okay. Because I was there when Asuka tapped Bayley out, and Bayley was just passed out, and everybody's like, what the fuck, you know? But the match was good, man. I'm not sure if people are picking up on the story, but I'm digging the story that Omega was allowed it as like the shit. As of last year and early the year before last year in New Japan, he was the wrestler of the year. We all fawned over him. We all drooled over him. A couple of us masturbated to him. Doesn't matter. It was good. It was really good. And now he had that lull during the AEW stuff where he wasn't doing much. He hasn't been doing indie shows, so he's just working out and making sure he don't get hurt. And then he does these shows. He loses to Jericho. Beats Sima. Loses again on the big stage to freaking whatever. By tap out, by knockout, you know? And maybe they do something with that. That maybe, you know what, Omega kind of downplayed the competition in the company, which he wanted competition, and now that he has it, is he the guy that we all thought he was, you know?
And I'm not sure, and I don't know if that's the reason why I'm not so hyped up for the match. I don't know.
He's waning on popularity. Maybe it is because he hasn't, you know, because he's not on our televisions every other week. He's not on YouTube every other week. With, oh my God, look at that V-trigger. Holy shit, I mean, look at that, like, He's not fresh, you know, and we see the wrestlers and we look at other profiles and we swipe right on other people. And before you know it, you get all these text messages. And then the girl that you were thinking about before you left suddenly ain't the first one you want to text when you come back. And that's what it is with Omega. It's like, where's Omega been? What the?
Yeah.
Look at the roster, dude.
Yeah. And I think maybe some of that is just how much bandwidth does he have right now. Because he's trying to be the head of, well, not the, but one of the heads of this fucking company. Mm-hmm. So is he putting more time and energy and effort in getting this fucking bird off the ground than it is being the star? In New Japan, that bird's already in the air and he's just on the plane being the star. So is he trying to be the star? Is he trying to make sure everybody else is a star because we need to fucking make this work? Mm-hmm. And that's why I'm kind of like, all right, well, I'll give us some leeway on it. But I think in the microcosm of the match itself, what the fuck you got going on with Pac?
Do you want more Pac? I mean, is that why you're asking?
Maybe. I mean, I don't know. Like,
did you forget how good Pac was?
No,
pitter patter again.
I know he's good. I want to see more of him being good.
Great, even.
And great, yes. But he done beat Omega in what's essentially NFL equivalent of a trap game. Where you're
everything to win, nothing to lose.
You just played the fucking Saints. Then you have the Jags. Ugh. And then the next week you're going to
against the Texans.
Yeah. Ugh. Yeah. Oh god. The next week you're going up against another like top tier team, and you might look past the fucking Jags. But that's a fucking divisional game. You better not look past them, even though they're kind of wimpy and they lost their quarterback and whatever. You're probably going to steamroll them.
That could be the tiebreaker at the end of the season for home field.
Don't fucking look past them, and you may have accidentally looked past them. Mm-hmm. And okay, great. Does that mean the Jags are going to win the Super Bowl? No. Does that mean Pac's going to be the next fucking AEW champ? Probably not. He probably squeaked one out in a bit of a fucking fluke, but maybe it wasn't a fluke. Maybe it was. I don't know. What are you really going to? Because Pac wasn't going to fucking job because he wasn't on the last job. Show. He couldn't job and he has this other title.
Now he has job and he did job.
Where the fuck? Where the fuck does his loyalties lie? Because I don't want to invest a whole lot in him if he's like, hey, this is a great promotion in America, but I'm going back to fucking
well, I'm just your whatever. Sancho.
Don't put a ring on me, baby. I'm your Sancho. You know, I don't know, man. So it's like, do I want to get excited for Pac maybe winning something? I don't know. I don't know. It's weird. I don't know.
But I'm going to go with it.
Okay.
Better to have loved than lost. Just
let it happen, baby.
Better to have loved and lost than never loved, man.
Yeah, I guess so. Just let it happen. Just sit back and just enjoy the ride, I guess. Ooh. Okay.
Jericho and Hangman.
Oh, you want to jump to that?
You don't want to save the ladder match for last?
Oh, we're going to save that for last. Oh, okay. Okay. Jericho and Hangman.
As much as we're going to talk about it.
I'm going to eat a cracker.
As much as I love the ladder match, Hangman and Jericho felt like a main event. It felt like a match that needed to go on last. It felt like something, and I don't mean this as disrespect because I love the Lucha Bros. I love the Young Bucks. I've seen them all several times. I've paid to see them several times. But for people that aren't in the know of wrestling, that main event is a match that you pay money for. It was presented as if that was like the match of the fucking year. At least presentation going into
okay.
it.
Okay.
The match was good. At times it was great. Again, where the fuck is Jericho getting all this from? Like he's lasting again. He's had matches this year in AEW that he's lasted a lot longer than I thought he should have.
Okay.
And he kept going. Dude, man. And I think, again, I said it before, the predictions, it's the right call to have the heel up front and have some of the baby faces chase him, build up the next star. And the match was good, man. That was a great way to end the show. Really good way to end the show.
Okay.
Do you agree or disagree?
I disagree.
Woo! Hit me. Go.
What did I say the last time we were on this little YouTube beast?
Do you have any condoms?
No, when we were on YouTube, not after the show. Okay. Damn. What did I say?
Go buy condoms.
No, God damn it. Since you're having trouble remembering, I will remind you.
Remind me, please.
Your pick to win this was Jericho.
Yours is Hangman.
No bigger star. It's got to be Jericho.
Because it's AEW. It's young. We're pushing the youth. We have to have somebody.
You need to push different. Yeah. Different. Because you want to be seen as something different. You know, you got to either be better or different. And yes, Jericho is very, 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 very good. I'm not taking anything away from his ability in the ring. What's going on with Jericho is the polar opposite of the way I feel about Nyla. Jericho in the ring right now is fucking amazing. But storyline-wise, politically, I don't think this was the right time for him to win. Because, again, he's kind of on the downward swing of his career. Yeah, sure, he could go. Great. He's on the downward swing of his career. And if you're trying to make history, and this is what people are going to look up, hey, Alexa, who was the first AEW champion? Do you want that to be one of your own homegrown guys to show we're different? This is our company? Or do you want it to show, oh, it was the guy from the other company that made his name somewhere else for 20, 30 years? And, you know, like, to me, the optics of it are a little off. To me, I think Jericho could be great in AEW as the second or third AEW champ. Let him beat somebody in like a 3 or 4 way or something like that with heel tactics and cheat and then shove it in everybody's faces. But not for the first. For the first, you want to establish what makes you different, because that trivia question is going to be there for a long time. And we all know Jericho doesn't have any fucking problems bringing up his past. I was the guy to beat The Rock and the Stone Cold in the same fucking night. I was the first the ever Stone AEW Cold. Champion. He's going to fucking say that 10, 15 years from now. Oh, yeah, Cody, you're the champ right now? Well, you guess what? I was the first ever. Oh, my fucking God. And we're going to hear this over and over and over and over. And I like Jericho. I think you're doing a really good job. That match was badass, but it sets a precedent. That precedent is, if you're a former WWE guy and you can still go, guess what? We have a home for you here in AEW, and we're going to put the strap on you because you have name value. I think they needed to shift that fucking paradigm and not be like, we are not WWE's rejects. We're not WWE light. We're not going to pull from what they've established. We're going to establish our own fucking people.
Devil's advocate. This wasn't that situation where, hey, you have name value, come to AEW, we'll make you champion. Because Jericho didn't walk. This was not his first pay-per-view. This was not his first match. He was in a qualifying match, just like a lot of other people, to see who the number one contender was.
Yeah.
So he earned that. He wasn't given that. By story on television, he earned that. Mm-hmm. He, as a character on AEW, signed Hogan. Guess what we're going to do in 3 weeks?
It was the same with Kurt Angle in TNA, though.
Yeah.
Kurt Angle showed up. He beat up on Joe. And then next thing you know, he has 5 fucking different titles running around.
He had Joe for 4 months.
True. And you could say he earned it, too. But TNA started to get a little bit of that stink. A little bit. They didn't have that stink when it was just Christian, because they took Christian, who was kind of established, and then they built him up and up and up, and they made him more of a star than what he was in WWE. But then when the WWE folks started coming in, then they were built up like Kennedy,
RVD.
Please come on in, and we're going to give Kevin you the Nash. Fucking barn. Yeah, and that's what I'm afraid that they might do here. Nobody is going to, hey, Alexa, who was the first AEW champion? Alexa's going to go, it was Chris Jericho, but he earned it. No, it's going to say, oh, it was Chris Jericho, former WWE champion, 9-time Intercontinental champion. He beat The Rock and the Stone Cold in the same night. That's what Alexa's going to tell you. Alexa's not going to say he earned his shot against whoever the fuck he beat to get into the title match.
Is it just for the title, or is it just in general when they show up to the roster? Did you think Ty Dillinger lost to Cody, or was it Sean Spears that lost to Cody? Where does that mentality go?
Well, the fact, see, he's kind of like Christian, because Christian going over to TNA was like the guy that never got past the glass ceiling, and in TNA they gave him a fucking shot.
And the last name.
And he went through with it. Mm-hmm. Ty, or Spears, whatever you want to call him, even in AEW, he still hasn't gotten shattered that glass ceiling. He got his ass whooped by Cody. So he
looked good doing it.
Looked good doing it, but he still got his ass whooped by Cody.
Yeah.
Okay? That's kind of what I wanted Jericho to do. I wanted him to get his ass whooped by fucking Hangman. Now, again, remember, I didn't say that I liked Hangman. You know, but booking-wise, political-wise, that's what I'm saying here. But, like, with Sean Spears, I think that's appropriate. He got his ass whooped. He needs to, you know, continue to get his ass whooped, then create something different where I forget about the Perfect 10, Ty Dillinger.
That's going to be hard.
Right now, well, I'm already kind of starting to get there. You tell me Sean Spears, and I'm like, oh, yeah, he was a Perfect 10.
He needs to stop doing this then.
You tell me Pac, and I'm like, oh, yeah, Neville, duh. You tell me Jericho, I still think Jericho-holic 2001. I still think Millennium Man. I still think Festival of Friendship. I'm not there yet with disassociating him with WWE and WCW and associating him with AEW yet. Let's see what Robert Medlin says. Robert, thank you for joining us in the live chat. Robert says this. Give Jericho credit. He made one offhand remark on the post show and instantly became an internet meme and a new t-shirt. Yes, that was the best part. A little bit of the bubbly.
Man, so I'm like, driving down the coast of San Diego, Santa Barbara, San Francisco, Malibu, and Scott on my co-pilot.
Scott the Scott from Scotland.
Is like every 15, 20 minutes is showing me all of these music videos that have spliced Chris Jericho in it.
Bubbly.
Oh my God. That made the trip even better than it was. Oh my God.
That was great.
And he made the best of it, man. He legitimately lost the title, made something out of it, and he had the highest selling shirt in the first 24 hours on Pro Wrestling Tees with that little bit of the bubbly shirt.
A little bubbly.
It's oh my God. Jared, as far as wrestlers of reinvention, I think Jericho is in my Mount Rushmore of wrestlers that have been able to constantly keep themselves fresh and change themselves.
That is the argument you should use against me. The fact that he can reinvent himself—he's
still—he's like he's still running on the Painmaker gimmick that he like introduced in New Japan against Kazuchika Okada.
Yeah.
And now he's adding torque with that, with the stuff that he's doing right now in AEW. Yeah. And we'll probably get something else in the next year and a half that'll be completely different, and we'll be having this conversation again about Jericho.
True. If this win is the invention of a new Jericho and the beginning of a new Jericho,
then
I may have to eat my words. But as of right now, this Jericho, in my mind, is the same Jericho I've been watching for the last 20 years. Which, don't get me wrong, I have been a Jericho-holic since fucking early 2000s. I fucking love the man.
96.
Okay, there you go. All right. Oh, because 2001 is when he came to WWE, but yeah.
99, he came into WWE.
Oh, 99 it was. Yeah,
96, 95, he was in the EC Dubs.
My bad. My math is a little bit wrong.
That's why I'm the banker, you the driver.
That's true. That's true. But yeah, I still like the dude. I'm just saying.
The only flaw I have in the match between Cody and Sean has nothing to do with Cody and Sean.
Okay.
Ever since All In, I was all in on Marty Maxwell Jacob Friedman.
Yes.
Salt of the earth, complete douchebag. He will reject your kid's autograph no matter what jersey he's wearing. He's an ass. He's an ass. And I feel like already he was like the Miz, to where he was so good at being an ass that it was entertaining and you wanted to cheer it.
Okay.
So I'm guessing maybe that's why he was the guy that was in Cody's corner. And it just looked so awkward hearing a guy that made fun of all the video gamers at Fyter Fest, that made fun of all the fun of all the people at Double or Nothing with gambling problems, made fun of everybody in All In because half of them couldn't fit in their seats. Damn. And here he's hyping up the crowd. He's like pointing at fans and trying, like, no.
I needed him to be the asshole that even assholes thought was an asshole.
At least Cody, be an asshole towards Sean.
And Cody's an asshole.
Yeah.
So Cody should not want this guy around. Cody should not want, like, man, fuck that dude. You know, like he should be such a dick that nobody wants to associate with him.
Then that would have given an even bigger pop for Arn Anderson had Cody not had anyone during his match than to have Arn come out and face off with Tully and keep the old Four Horsemen thing going. But just having Maxwell there, it's...
Okay, that's fair.
It's like Robitussin for the first time when you're a kid. You just... what that felt like.
Yeah. I want him to be such a dick that
so bad that I don't ever want to cheer you. Even though inside I'm like,
yeah.
But I don't ever want to cheer you in person because I don't want to be... Even I'm an asshole, I don't want to be that much of an asshole.
Yeah. Ding. Ding.
Escalera de la Muerte, güey. Los Lucha Brothers y Los Jóvenes Books.
Los Jóvenes Books.
I know I butchered that completely.
Yeah, and I'm not sure if that's proper. The Young Bucks.
I'm going to call on a limb and say it's not.
Yeah, probably not. How do you say, buck is a deer, right? How do you say deer in Spanish?
No, I don't know.
I don't know either.
Should that have ended the show?
No. Because, again, you are crowning your first ever AEW Thank champion. You. So, regardless of how the match is, regardless of how I feel about who's winning, regardless of how I felt about the two competitors, because, again, I don't think Jericho should have won it, and I really don't like Hangman. So, regardless of all that, it's still the first ever championship. Yes, that needs to close the show. Can the Escalera de la Muerte steal the show? Yeah, sure, why not? It
fucking did.
I think it did.
But. Nalgas.
But. What you said last week about this match, you fucking ruined it for me.
Because
you said something to the effect of, yeah, but we've seen him wrestle a whole lot before already. And I was like, oh, yeah. So after watching Private Party versus, the other Lucha Bros, the Lucha Gringo Bros, I guess we could call them.
The Gringos.
The Gringos. After watching them and seeing innovative stuff I've never seen before, and then going to this match where it was a lot of the stuff that I've already seen out of both of these teams, it kind of ruined it for me because it was like, ooh, pretty, but it's the same kind of pretty I already done seen. I like it. It's good. My expectations at like a 9 or a 10, and the match was at like a 9 or a 10, but it was the same 9 or 10.
Which isn't bad. I mean, every time you see Metallica, they're going to play Enter Sandman, whether you like it or not.
Yeah, and you like it. Yeah. So, okay, but I didn't feel like it got a whole lot new, even though they added the element of the fucking stairs and stuff.
I think what...
Stairs. Ladders.
I think the only thing that kind of took me back is that whoever booked that match felt that it was necessary to go back to the same trope
of,
because I think I've seen it at least half a dozen times this year already. Can you not hang with a luchador that you have to sink to taking off his mask? Like Pentagon Jr. has been unmasked at least 6 times this year now.
Yeah, okay.
Impact, AAA, AEW, and again in AAA, and I think again in Impact. Like, it's happened to him enough times that it's like, all right, man, I get it. Fuck. Pentagon, wear another fucking mask.
Put a strap on that thing.
Staple that shit, you know?
Yeah. Put a mask underneath the other mask if you know they're going to take that one off.
It's just, God, I mean, that's... You know how I always complain about I hate cage matches because someone always has to fall off the fucker?
Yeah.
I'm starting to get to the point where I hate masked luchadors wrestling because they're always going to have their mask taken off. Oh, Rey. Well. Again, it's already happened to Rey a couple of times this year.
Yeah.
And with Phoenix, I think once that I remember. Wow. And now with Pentagon all this time, I was like, come on, man.
Lucha Underground, Mil Muertes opened up Phoenix's mask enough to where he didn't take it off, but you could see his ugly mug.
Yeah, but it wasn't to the point where he like...
But it happened like 3 times.
But it wasn't to the point where, I'm going to hit you. Oh my God, I don't want anybody to see me. I'm so fucking ugly. Yeah. And that every fucking time with Penta and Ray, they like drop like a fucking heart attack every time someone takes off their mask. Like, bro, we know you fucking ugly. We got the network, Ray. We know you look like a little 8-year-old in a fucking tight anyway. Just Dang. Fucking wrestle. You know, and Dang. At some point, that's like, fuck, I don't want to watch Mexicans anymore. That's what I'm going to do. I don't want to watch like, just go build a fucking wall then. At least it doesn't matter what you look like. We know which end you're going to be at. That shit's racist. Doesn't make it untrue.
Oh.
And I'm brown, so I can say it, right?
I guess.
Okay, good.
Until they start throwing your ass over the wall.
No, I speak English.
I'm
not saying that they don't.
I don't know. He looks better to me. Someone do know the English. So we're going to toss them over anyway. If it ain't white, it ain't right.
We're seeing a lot of throwbacks this year.
Yeah.
You know, we're having the Wednesday night war. It's a throwback to the Monday night war between NXT and AEW. They're having the first 2 weeks. The first hour is going to be live on USA for NXT. The second hour is going to be on the network. Not by choice, because the timing of the whole thing, they're competing with the last two episodes of the series finale of Suits. So,
but, Suits.
Yeah. Hey, don't dog it. Watch some Suits. However, we're getting a taste of the Wednesday Night Wars officially come October with AEW.
Okay.
Vince wanted to beat out his competition. He just fucking bought the competition and took WCW out in the back and just...
Yeah.
So if Access doesn't want Impact Wrestling on their program, Anthem is like, you know what? I'll just buy y'all fuckers out. Anthem purchased majority stake in AXS Television. And now it was announced today, again, Jazz Hands, October, Impact is moving to Access Television on the same network as WOW and New Japan.
Interesting.
That is very interesting. That's probably, other than Spike, that might be the best network they've been on as far as households that actually have, no pun intended, access to Access.
You might actually be right about that. I think you might. I don't think Access is as big as Spike was, but I think there's more households that can actually get it. So that's good. At least way more than fucking Pursuit. Is that what they're on right now? Yeah. Huh.
Too much wrestling on one channel?
Maybe. That is kind of strange.
An hour for WOW.
An hour for New Japan and 2 hours.
Unless it's a live special.
Oh, New Japan does 2 hours of?
No, like the first night of G1, that was live. That was 3.5 hours.
Oh, motherfucker, really?
Yeah.
God damn, I didn't realize it did that.
And then 2 hours of Impact, regardless of what day it falls on. You know, we're going to have eventually 5 hours of WWE television on USA. And now, potentially, there's at least 4 to 6 hours of combined wrestling on Access Television.
Damn.
And then NWA's got their show coming up.
Is that on Access too?
Not yet. Okay. Eventually, everything. Access will be to Disney, and everything will just get sucked up to it.
Yeah, except for WWE.
Oh, well.
Yeah. I mean, that's interesting. I it's kind of weird. It's like going to a strip mall, and there's a Domino's, a Pizza Hut, and a mom and pop fucking pizza place all in the same fucking strip. And it's like, how did this happen? I mean, I ain't mad at it, but this shit ain't normal. Like, how did this happen? Like, okay, I mean, sure, as a consumer, I can take my pick, you know, but okay. You know? I mean, that's all I gotta say.
Now that it's on Access, will you make a bit more of an effort to watch?
No.
Or are you interested at all?
I'm not gonna make more of an effort, and here's why I'm not gonna make more of an effort. Because I already have access to watch Impact as it is on Pursuit.
Twitch.
Yeah, it's recorded on my DVR every fucking week, along with everything else. And the only person that actually fucking watches it is Porsche, and I only catch it when she happens to have it on. I'm like, oh, Impact. All right, I'll sit down for 30 minutes, you know, and I won't even sit the entire time. You know what? I need to go wash the dishes, you know. You know, so I mean, I'm just, because I have it on a different channel doesn't mean that I'm going to make more of an effort. Now, if it starts resurging and it's like, oh man, it's really, really good. And I don't mean the few TNA marks that are still out there. It says, hey, you know, TNA is really on the upswing. No, I mean, like, everybody is starting to say, wow, TNA, Impact is really fucking good. Yeah. You know, then I'll be like, oh, all right, I guess I'll fucking watch, you know, if I have to. As of right now, if they put on AXS tomorrow, nah. What about you?
My report card's at an incomplete because I don't have cable anyway. So when I watch Impact, I find ways to watch it. And if it continues to be on Twitch, I will continue to find a way to watch it.
Yar, yo,
but that too. But again, we're creeping up to 15 hours of weekly programming of professional wrestling.
Of the regular shit.
I don't watch 15 hours of football. If I, even if I had the time, chances are on random, I wouldn't watch 15 hours of The Simpsons.
You don't watch fucking 15 hours of pornography.
I was just about to say that. Damn.
Ding.
And by myself, I can last 15 hours.
Oh, dale.
It's just when I'm not in control, it just I end up inside other people. But yeah, there's 15 hours, bro. 15. 15.
It's too much.
That's a lot.
It's too much.
So you gotta like if you don't have DVR, I'm so sorry. Again, I apologize to myself. I'm assuming that's a mirror there. But man, you gotta either DVR and fast forward a lot of shit, or you have to be very selective on your catalog of what you're listening or what you're watching. To catch up on everything. Lord knows we're gonna have a fucking workout trying to catch everything every week and
talk. And we have this fucking show.
Yeah.
You know. Robert, yeah, I actually have a point to make about that, but maybe we can save that for the end. But Robert Medlin says this. Also, what the fuck's up with the rumor that Impact might buy ROH? I didn't hear this rumor. Did you hear this rumor?
I heard it today.
You did?
I heard it today. I don't know if Sinclair wants out of wrestling or if Ring of Honor wants out of Sinclair. Because, again, Sinclair is another example of a overly political to one side of the fence where Ring of Honor is trying to be neutral, but the programming on Sinclair is being forced to show that they're a one side. And I think Ring of Honor just doesn't want to play that game. But it's
and they're only in half of the cities of fucking America. In Texas, the only market that gets Sinclair is fucking San Antonio.
As far as wrestling credence, as far as fervor, as far as history, wouldn't it be a shame if Ring of Honor gets the one that is the one that gets bought out?
By TNA?
By TNA. By
Impact. That is a shame. It should be the other way around.
Yeah.
It should. Because, damn it, ROH was around before TNA. ROH fed TNA. And once TNA went on the downcline, ROH has been the stalwart. They've been good.
ROH has been consistent. Whether everyone around them has been better or everyone around them has been worse. ROH has always had that pulse.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, sometimes the pulse gets a little curve a little bit higher.
Yeah.
But... yeah, I mean, that's a shame.
Ugh. Man.
Do you want to talk about this now?
No.
The next?
No, we're done with that. There's one more section to talk about real quick. Because we haven't mentioned WWE that much. Ironically enough.
Ironically enough.
So, the plan was executed. We tried the plan. The plan's not working. So, we're ditching the plan.
What's the plan is that?
So the other three, Royal Rumble, Survivor Series, SummerSlam, have been treated like WrestleMania to where Saturday's a takeover, Sunday's the pay-per-view, Monday's Raw, Tuesday's a SmackDown.
Yeah.
A lot of wrestling fans, especially ones that travel, were under the assumption that, all right, Fox on Fridays. So Friday night SmackDown, Saturday night takeover, Sunday night pay-per-view, Monday Night Raw, and all four of them are in the same city, in the same town, pretty much in the same arena.
Right.
That's not happening anymore. No. Well, at least not with the Royal Rumble. All signs are pointing to only the Saturday show and the Rumble show are actually going to be here. Friday Night SmackDown will be in Dallas, the American Airlines Center. Monday Night Raw will be in San Antonio at the AT&T Center. And Saturday is not a takeover.
Wow.
So they're going to retry the World Collide special that they did during WrestleMania weekend that just came. But from one of the logos I saw, it had all five brands on there. So we're talking Raw versus SmackDown versus NXT versus NXT UK versus 205 Live. So,
but...
then the other rumor came out today
that Triple H is depreciating 205 Live.
Yeah.
So that goes back down to four. And the 205 Live guys are going to get NXT. Absorbed into NXT.
Maybe NXT UK, a couple.
I mean, maybe I would, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, okay.
That's lighter on my wallet.
Yeah.
I was only going to TakeOver and Rumble in January anyway.
Unless Worlds Collide becomes a fucking thing. Like, oh, that's the next brand.
But no, but I'm glad you mentioned that because we asked each other last episode how many takeovers is too many.
That's true.
And the fact that we're not getting the takeover the weekend of, number one, that's cool because I like the takeovers being in different, maybe smaller places, sometimes more intimate. Again, NXT neighborhoods a lot more intimate than the WWE universe.
Yeah.
You know, especially like the takeover they did in London, 5,000 people. It wasn't too huge of a place, but it was small. They sold it out and it was sounded loud as fuck. But if they're not following the traditional schedule of WWE weekend pay-per-views, it could lead to the possibility that if we have a 2-hour weekly show, we need to have a pay-per-view every other month or maybe every 90 days, which would lead to 8 pay-per-views a month.
A year?
Yeah, 8 pay-per-views a year. I don't know, man. That worries me.
Yeah,
That's watering it down.
Yeah.
Right now, I think AEW, Fyter Fest is different because it's a gaming convention that they just happen to do a show in. Fight for the Fallen hasn't been confirmed that it's a yearly event. It might have just been one time only. So right now, just in AEW's calendar, and they have a weekly show, they have Double or Nothing Memorial Day weekend, so the end of May. They have All Out in the end of August, and they're having Full Gear in November. So if you do January, All In and All Out are the same one. You keep forgetting that.
They're going to make them the same one?
All In happened the same weekend as All Out.
Oh, it did?
Yeah, it did.
Oh, so okay.
If you do an event in January and then another one in March. So January, March, May, August, November. Those are 5. Spaced out. Plenty of time to do shows in between. The weekly shows. For AEW right now at the roster, only a 2-hour show. I think 5 feels about right. That's basically the NXT calendar. It's 5 NXTs a year.
All right.
5 takeovers a year.
All right.
But if NXT goes to 8 or 9, God, fuck, that might be too much for me.
Okay.
I don't know.
Especially if you're going to start throwing in NXT UKs as pay-per-views. Or as takeovers. As, yeah. Because then, oh, fuck, that's going to be a lot.
You already named your match of the week.
Okay.
You want to remind the people that just tuned in what your match of the week is?
Yeah, it was the Angelico and Evans versus the Private Party.
Versus the Private Party.
The Private Party.
I've got some nominees the last couple of weeks since we've been gone.
Okay.
I didn't get a chance to show you this because it's 50 minutes long. But goddamn, Walter beat the ever-loving fuck out of that poor Tyler Bate boy. Oh.
Ding.
Oh my god, I was about to call the cops.
Aww.
On that same show that I did show you, Ilya Dragunov in a losing effort against Cesaro.
That was really good. Yeah. I really enjoyed that.
We talked Cody versus Spears already. We took the Bucks against the Bros. Some King of the Ring action. Joe versus Ricochet when it was one-on-one.
Yeah,
I didn't think that match would get any better,
and it did.
Adding fucking Corbin.
Yeah.
Holy crap, dude.
Yep.
I've heard this on another podcast, and I'm starting to understand why that person feels this way. Corbin needs to be careful. He needs to be very careful.
What do you mean? Because
he's starting to turn to kind of a face. He's getting some face reactions the last couple of weeks. That crowd stood up when Corbin won last week. Crowd stood up when Corbin won again. Man. Not that I want to see it. I don't want to see it. King Corbin as a douchebag is what I want to see.
I mean, he's got a douchebag face.
But
he's got a douchebag look.
But dude, his work, man, again, we asked this before. Like, give me a last bad Corbin match.
Deep Six is pretty cool.
His deep six on fucking Ricochet.
On Ricochet was cool.
Like, holy shit, that pirouette took forever.
But I don't know. I'm not there yet. I'm nowhere near there.
Okay.
I haven't even gotten dressed and left the house yet. I'm not there at all.
How about Ray Ray against Grandma Talik? Did you catch that?
Yeah, I caught parts of it. It was good. Yeah.
How about the women tag?
Which women tag?
Becky and Charlotte against Bayley and Sasha. Oh,
I saw it, I think. Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't stand out in my mind.
No?
Maybe I need to pay a little bit better attention. I don't know. Sometimes when I have so many hours of wrestling on the telly, I'm just like start zoning out, playing on my phone, that kind of thing.
There's a lot, man. I don't know if there's something I would pick as match of the week. There's a lot of options out there. Shit.
How do you feel about my pick? Private Party.
It's a solid pick. I like it. So? I might lean towards Walter versus Tyler Bate.
Okay, that's fair.
But God, it's so fucking long. And that's the only gripe I have with pro wrestling. When the matches are so good, but they're so long, it's like, I can't devote an hour.
Yeah.
You know what I can do in an hour? Nothing. But I'll enjoy the nothing instead of watching fucking television.
Yeah.
Last 3 days, I've come home, and the first hour of my day, once I get home from work, I'm in the dark. And I just lay on the couch in the dark.
That is sad.
We have a live NXT next week, bro. The live debut on USA.
Mm-hmm.
And they've stacked the deck pretty hard on this show. You might not know that these matches exist, but they have been confirmed.
I've heard of maybe like two of them.
So I'm going to get your anticipation on some of these.
All right, you're going to tickle my pickle.
Velveteen Dream defends the North American Championship against Roderick Strong.
The
last of the Undisputed Era that does not have gold.
Yep.
What's your anticipation level?
It's an 8. You kind of know how I feel about Roddy. He's been the least charismatic of, you know, all of Undisputed Era, but he's gotten a lot of positive charismatic rub off of the other guys.
Yeah.
He's really, really good in the ring. I still like the Messiah, the Backbreaker, you know, style that he has of wrestling. And the redo of the fulfilling of the prophecy, I'm not too sure about right now. It makes me feel a little, I don't know if uneasy is the right word, but fuck it. We'll go with uneasy because when at the takeover, it like didn't happen. I was like, fuck, it didn't happen. Okay, well, great. But for them to continue and say, hey, we're still trying to fulfill that prophecy, it's like, no, bitch. Like, don't, you're now you're really trying to make fetch happen. You're really trying to force it. Okay, the fucking tag team's got it. All right. Oh, and so now, so I kind of feel like if Roddy wins, oh, geez, come on, really? Okay, they decided to do it now instead of then. Yeah. But if Roddy loses, it's just like, haha, bitch, I told you, of course it's not. So, like, either way, I'm not going to be happy. So I'm like, whatevs. So, and, like, Velveteen, who I really like, storyline-wise kind of seems to be the background of this story. This story is about Roddy and the Undisputed Era being draped in gold or not. This has nothing to do with Velveteen, who's a goddamn champion who's been busting in his ass for over a year, who's won everybody's respect, but it's like, well, because he happens to be the champ, where a storyline is requiring somebody to be the champ, it's not about Velveteen. So, so I'm at an 8.
7?
Okay.
I'm not sure if I'm ready to see Velveteen lose his belt yet. And he's had that bitch for a while.
Yeah.
I have a bold prediction.
Okay.
Roderick Strong loses, obviously. That's not the bold prediction.
Okay.
This loss causes Roderick Strong's exodus from the Undisputed Era.
Ding.
And he's replaced with a guy that I think can also benefit from getting the rub from the Undisputed Era. And it's a guy that on television is starting a feud with Johnny Gargano.
Tell me more.
Nick Miller from the old, not Nick Miller, Shane Thorne. Shane Thorne, the leftover from the Team Mighty 61, from the Mighty Don't Kneel. He's been doing his heel stuff now that he's been wrestling alone. And he had a statement on NXT with Gargano. And he has that build like Kyle O'Reilly, like Bobby Fish, where he has that like MMA type background, kickboxing background skill.
Okay.
That I think I appreciate Roddy in the Undisputed Era. He's done a lot better now than probably he's ever done, maybe even as champion in Ring of Honor. But the fact remains that Roddy looks like he just doesn't fit with the rest of the group.
Yeah, okay.
And if Roderick loses, that's the perfect way to get him out of the group and bring in somebody that aesthetically might fit in and possibly charismatically also fit in with the group in Shane Thorne.
Okay, that's a very bold prediction. If that happens, wow, okay. Cool, I'll be impressed.
And we're live, so I don't have any spoilers. I don't know right. What the fuck's going on. That's just my guess.
But I don't think I agree with you, because I think the thing that makes the Undisputed Era the Undisputed Era is they're so fucking homogenous. It's a bunch of American white guys who are cocky. You put in an Aussie in there, and it's like one of these things don't belong. Yeah, sure, he's cocky and a heel too, but it's like, I don't know. I think that one of the things that makes them douchey is that they're so the same. Even though they're not 100% the same, I think I like a little bit of differentness in a group, but I think the point of this group is that they're not that different. Okay. So you throw in an Aussie in there, that kind of loses the vibe of the Undisputed Era. It loses the douchiness of them, you know? But if that happens, I ain't mad at that.
You got Velveteen winning, right?
No, I have
the prophecy fulfilled.
I think the prophecy is going to be fulfilled, and I'm going to be upset. Like, oh, now you fulfill the prophecy? God damn it. Borscht to the live chat.
Fuck your couch!
Fuck your couch! Yeah.
Take that hippie shit to California.
Yeah. No, I mean, okay, she does bring up a point. That's where Velveteen kind of gets involved, where it's personal with Velveteen because he got his couch burnt. Yeah, that's kind of funny considering the lore of the couches.
So let's look at the other end of this.
Yeah.
I didn't see the segment. Was it Roddy that burned the couch, or was it everyone that burned the couch?
I thought it was Roddy.
What if Velveteen drops the title to Roddy, continue this feud with Undisputed Era, leading to Velveteen versus Cole for the heavyweight strap? You think Velveteen's ready for that? Would you be invested in watching Velveteen versus the new horseman trying to get through all of them? You know, if Triple H wants to out NWA the NWA before they make it to television.
No, because it would feel weird to lose to the mini boss and then go fight the big boss. That would feel weird to me. I've seen it before where a mid-card champ loses the mid-card belt to go fight for the heavyweight belt. That makes sense when the mid-card and the heavyweight champs are not a part of the same faction. But here, that would be too much of, well, I got beat out. We're like, what the fuck? Like, I don't know. It doesn't fit for me.
Hmm. No, it's not out there.
I mean, if it happens, it'd be interesting.
How about tag title match? Bobby Fish, Kyle O'Reilly, the Red Dragons of the Undisputed Era against the Street Profits.
Six. I think Fish and O'Reilly are probably going to keep this belt, because again, we've seen the Street Profits on the main event or on the main roster. It was just a matter of time before they lost those belts. I don't think they're going to have a back and forth hot potato situation with them. And again, that plays into this whole storyline that might be a few weeks too late, but regardless, the storyline of the Undisputed Era being draped in gold, you know, like, no, they're going to stay draped in gold. At least those two.
You said you're six.
Six.
What about a seven?
Okay.
Most of that is because I want to see the Street Profits wrestle. You have them on the TV every week, but they don't do shit other than talk.
True.
And even then, last Monday was a little bit overboard for my taste. So whatever it takes to watch them wrestle, if it's going to be on the main roster, not yet. No, fine. Okay, you're going to do it on NXT? All right, I'll watch it. So I'm at about a seven.
Okay.
It's funny. I don't know if I want the Street Profits to lose so that they go on the main roster, but I don't think I want to see them in the main roster now. There's enough going on in the tag division up there. I don't want them to get lost.
Okay.
So maybe I do want the Street Profits to win. Then again, I want the prophecy fulfilled. Or maybe if Roderick Strong wins, but the Undisputed Era, the tag titles aren't with Undisputed Era. I'm picking Undisputed Era. Fuck it. I got Undisputed Era sweeping this.
Really?
Yeah. How about Matt Riddle versus Killian Dane in a street fight?
Five?
I'm at about five, too. I haven't been watching enough of this rivalry. Yeah, I've been watching enough of Riddle talking about Goldberg said he's not my bro.
Yeah, and I don't know what the overall consensus is right now of Matt Riddle amongst fans. And I'm not sure what the overall consensus is of Riddle amongst other wrestlers, because I thought I saw a rumor saying that he's going the way of Enzo, where the locker room's turning on him, and I don't want to get too invested in him if he's going to be a dumbass and then he's going to be, you know, buying tickets to Raw, you know, okay. So at this point, I'm just going to kind of pump the brakes on him and then see, is he getting his shit back together and is he going to behave and stay around? If so, then I'll get invested. But right now, just because of the rumors, and I know it's rumors, it's news with a Z, but because of it, I'm like, now Killian, if Sanity was still around and intact, fuck yeah. But Killian by himself, at least for me, who hasn't been consistently watching NXT, I'm like, oh, they took an interesting aspect of him away. Now he's less interesting. Okay, great.
The interesting aspect of him.
Well, yeah, I guess.
A lot of big guys.
Yeah.
Not the first big guy I would run to. I want to watch him.
Not the first agile big guy to come out of NXT. Again, look at Ivar. Or Eric. Wait, is he Eric or Ivar?
Or Dijakovic.
Or Keith Lee.
Lars Sullivan.
Keith Lee versus Dijakovic was a good match.
Oh, I missed that.
That was like 2 weeks ago on NXT.
Two, yeah.
That was good.
I missed it.
I liked it. Fuck. It was good.
Dijakovic won, right?
I believe so.
Damn. I'm at a 5-2. I've got Riddle winning this. Not that it means much, because I doubt they're going to – I don't know what they're going to do.
I got Riddle winning it too. Yeah.
Fatal 4-Way for the number one contendership. Candice LeRae, Io Shirai, Mia Yim, Bianca Belair.
And it's not a 5-Way.
No.
Because as of last night's NXT – Rhea Ripley, if she had won, they were teasing, at least Beth Phoenix on the commentary was teasing that, oh, if she wins, maybe that'll become a 5-Way. But she didn't win. She got herself disqualified, justifiably so. So that might be the one in, because Regal is fair. Maybe Regal will say, hey, you know what? You guys got involved. We're going to punish you, the three of the four horsewomen, and you know what? We're going to stick her in there. Anyway, so maybe that – if that happens, I'm going to go from a 7 to about a 9. But as of right now, I'm at a 7. I'm only, you know, halfway cocked on that one.
I'm at about a 6. If I'm not mistaken, all four of these women have already wrestled Shayna Baszler and have already lost to Shayna Baszler.
Right.
So there's no attraction for me to watch either of these women wrestle Shayna Baszler in a match for a title.
Yeah.
I'm not in any arousal at all to see a 5-Way involving all
these. Really?
Women. No.
Okay.
What I
If it becomes a 5-Way, do you go up or down?
It's the same.
Okay.
What I would be curious about, what could turn a lot of hardcore wrestling fans into an uproar, I would not only be at a 10, but I would drive to this. Main event NXT takeover with all six women in a War Games match for the women's championship.
Six.
One at a time. You start with two, and then one woman every 5 minutes comes in. Then after that, all hell breaks loose.
Which six?
These four, Shayna and Rhea Ripley.
Okay.
A six-way match under the War Games rules. Two rings, one cage.
Okay.
Two at a time, every 5 minutes, somebody else. And then at the end, close the door. And first pinfall or submission wins the shit, wins the title.
Okay.
Put a different spin on it. Because honestly, man, there's enough, like, not to say that I don't like these women. For their specific reasons why I like all these women in this Fatal 4-Way. If it weren't for the fact that it's a War Games, I would like to, or they really want to go all out, no pun intended. Shit, put all six of them in an elimination chamber.
Okay.
You have the tools there. You have a story for all these women to want to come at Shayna. It's time for Shayna to drop the belt to somebody at this point because she's had it. She's kept that belt very toasty. She's kept it warm for a while. And she's been doing a damn good job, but I think she's ready to go beat the shit out of some people on Raw and SmackDown.
Yeah.
But if not an Elimination Chamber, dude, a Hell in a Cell.
Okay.
Not Hell in a Cell. War Games. All six of them. You don't have to put them in teams. Just fucking beat all of them.
Okay.
But right now, that 4-way match, I'm at about like, okay, I'll do the math. I'm at a 4. Just for those 4. How about 4?
One thing that kind of has drawn me back a little bit is it's just a small thing. And sometimes it's the small details, you know? It's a really, really small thing. It was when Candice was out there 2 episodes ago, I think it was. Candice was fighting off Io Shirai. And Beth said something to the effect of, "That's her former best friend." No, we saw them make friends together for like a month and then they fell out. That doesn't make best friends. If you're together for a month, you're not best friends. They were friends. They were getting friendly and then one stabbed the other in the back. And like if they just said, oh, they were friends and that's it. If she didn't throw in that word best, I wouldn't be quite as annoyed. You know? Like, I don't know. Is that something to be overly sensitive of? Am I out of line for getting my panties in a crawl on that one?
No.
No? Okay.
That's fair game. That's just
okay.
Fine.
Okay.
On a scale of 1 to 10, overall, the live debut of NXT in front of the masses on USA Network, what you giving it?
Well, it's on my birthday, and it's the first ever.
Happy birthday to you. I'm going to give you the first hour of NXT.
Thank you. Yeah. The sum of the parts are going to be not equal to the whole. And I'm going to give it more because it's my birthday, because it's the first episode, because it's live. 10.
Wow.
10. I have to watch this. I have to. Now, I know I rated a lot of stuff low, and there's some things that I'm not too excited about, but it's kind of the same way how I've been feeling about All Out, All In, Fight for the Fallen, blah, 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 blah. Maybe all the shit on the roster I'm not really interested in, but the fact that it's happening has got me interested.
Okay. 7.
Okay.
Again, some of the sum is more than the parts.
We're fucking up time.
Yeah, it's all well. 7. I'm watching it I'm watching it live some way, but I am.
Your witchy is legit. Yeah. Thank you, Porsche.
We have a pay-per-view this Sunday.
Oh, goddamn.
Let's do quick work of this.
Right.
Kofi versus Orton for the WWE title.
8.
8.
I think I got Kofi winning.
My only problem with this is after Randy, who's next?
I don't know. After Randy, I think he's going to lose. I think he's going to beat Randy because that ties up that story in a nice little bow, a story that's 9-10 years in the making.
You feed him to Brock, the debut in L.A.?
Maybe.
On SmackDown?
Maybe.
On Fox?
I don't know, but like I don't want to look that far ahead. I want to look at this.
It's only 3 weeks.
I know, but like, let me just have him beat fucking Randy Orton, and then you can do whatever you want with them, okay? Like, I'm so abused. Just give me a morsel, man. If you just give me a quarter of a bottle of water, I'll be fine for the next fucking 5 years if you don't give me any more water. You know, like.
Okay, Kofi. 8.
Yeah.
Okay. Rollins versus Strowman for the Universal title. Huh? Let's rewind that. First, it's Rudolph against Seth and Braun for the tag titles.
Rudolph?
Yeah. Robert Roode, Dolph Ziggler.
Oh, God. Rudolph. 5.
4. We got one.
Seth. Seth and Braun?
Seth and Braun.
Because that's not going to make any sense at the end of the night. Oh, my God, the tag team champions are the first time they're going to fight each other for their own title. Like, okay, yeah, they obviously have to.
I'm at an 8 for Seth versus Braun, and I have Braun winning. If you don't pull the trigger now, it's not going to matter when you do. You had that point with Joe. You had that point with Ziggler. You had that point several times in pro wrestling. Yeah, now is the time. If you don't do it with Braun, no matter how many times you say get these hands, no matter how many people look up to him because he's a monster among men. If I dropped all the catchphrases so far tonight, if Braun doesn't win it this Sunday, nobody's going to give a flying fuck about Braun. Braun has to win.
Braun's not going to win it this Sunday. I'm not going to give a flying fuck about Braun. Seth is winning. I'm at it like a 6. Seth is keeping it.
Would you rather? Are you more interested in the Raw Women's Title match or the SmackDown Women's Title match?
SmackDown.
Give me your number.
7.
So you're more interested in another title match with Charlotte.
No, I'm more interested in another title match with a heel Bayley.
Charlotte's the face?
And, well, I don't give a fuck about Charlotte. This is all about Bayley. Okay.
I'll give you that.
What I'm really more interested in, more specifically, is whether or not they give Bayley a new goddamn entrance music.
Get rid of the huggy deal.
The huggy deal. Like, I get it. Okay.
It's too bad that they gave Hero the emo Shirai stuff because Bayley in all black with that ass. Oh.
Yeah. I'm interested to the point of not, oh, wow, I'm really, like, this is good. And it's more like I'm interested because I want to see what the fuck you're going to do. Because if there's any point in time now, I get it that you didn't do it last week. I get it that you didn't do it the week before. She's still trying to put on the facade that she's the same old lovable, huggable Bayley. But no, at the fucking pay-per-view, that's when we finally get her true colors. That's when we finally get her new entrance music. That's kind of what I'm waiting on. And if she still comes out as I'm lovable, huggable, but I'm not really because this is all a front, then I'm disinterested. So my interest is more peaked in how are they actually going to handle this more than the actual match itself.
Unfortunately, I got to agree with you. I'm at a 7 for this match, and I am looking forward to this more than the Raw title match.
Okay.
I have Bayley retaining.
Me too.
I wonder how much bigger Charlotte's boobs are going to get between now and Sunday, especially in HD. But I'm hoping that this is the defining moment that finishes. It's the defining moment of Bayley that we get the new character. I've got Bayley winning.
Okay.
Yeah. How about Raw?
So it's who's it? Who's fighting this one?
I have Sasha versus Becky Sasha at versus a 5. 10 for Becky. 0. The last 2 weeks reminded me why I'm so glad I didn't get Sasha for the last 4 months. Like, there hasn't been enough in the character, if anything, for me to believe that this is a different Sasha than what it was before. You know, this doesn't even feel like the boss from NXT Sasha when she was the heel. This feels like disgruntled, I didn't get my raise even though the CEOs make billions and billions and I deserve billions. For some reason, it's just something's just not vibing for me. I'm at a 5. I got Becky winning.
I agree with you with one little addendum. So I'm at a 6, you know, 10 for Becky, 0 plus 1 for Sasha. And the plus one,
the purple hair,
is that goddamn cat suit she was wearing. Goddamn. 2 weeks ago it was, I think. She was wearing that goddamn cat suit. Goddamn. I'm kind of hoping that's her new ring gear, but I know it's not because last week she was wearing her regular fucking, you know, shorty shorts and that's it. But I was like, oh. But, yeah, there's something about this heel version of Sasha that I know that, like, a lot of people were clamoring for her to be a heel. But the way that she's a heel right now is kind of an interesting because it's what we've come to expect. Basically, Corey is right. Like,
She's really the boss, and she's putting on a front, except now she's just not putting on a front as she's admitting who she is.
Corey's the heel commentator. You should never agree with Corey, and the fact that Sasha's what she is now, you're agreeing with Trump. I mean, Corey.
And it's not in a way where it's her turned up to 11. It's her still at about an 8. She's just
being
an asshole. And it's just her. It's not the caricature of her. It's just her. The same Sasha that you've heard rumors of, that when little girls go up to her, ask her for an autograph, she's like, fuck off. And like, that's it. I was like, okay, well, that's a dick move. You know, you're supposed to be in a women's revolution and you're supposed to be inspiring all these little girls and you're just being an ass. Okay, well, maybe she's not that much of an ass, and you know, give her the benefit of the doubt. No, she was really that much of an ass this entire time. I'm like, oh.
Which mid-card title are you more interested in seeing? Nakamura defends against The Miz, the Intercontinental title. AJ Styles defends against Cedric Alexander for the U.S. title. Humberto Carrillo gets a shot at Gabagulak for the Cruiserweight title.
I'm going to say the U.S. title. Cedric Alexander has never let me down as far as in-ring goes. Yeah. And AJ Styles...
Does that equal he wins the belt?
AJ Styles has never let me down as far as in-ring goes. I'm going to say that I'm at about an 8.5 for this match. I think AJ's going to keep it. I don't think that they're going to put it on said, even though I'd like to see that. But you've put too much into fucking Tom Brady to just hand it off to Jimmy Garoppolo. Garoppolo. There you go. Like, you're just not going to hand it off to him. You're going to trade him away to the fucking Niners and let the Niners be like, hey, here's the next Tom Brady. Oh, wait. He ain't that great. Damn it. We were bamboozled. And I'm not saying...
At least your quarterback ain't got mono.
That's true. But, like... Yeah, you're going to go with the 40-year-old veteran that's going to fucking whoop ass for a long time and is over. You're going to give Garoppolo a little bit more time to develop, and maybe he'll be there now that he's out from underneath the shadow of Belichick and Brady, now that he has time to grow on his own. But that time's not now. It's not going to be this season. It might be next season. But God damn it, I like the kid. God damn it, I like Cedric a lot. It's not for you, not right now, baby. That's for somebody else, not for you, not for this.
We're gonna leave you just for you all right now, Daddy.
Gotta leave you in the oven for another 15 more minutes, Daddy.
Now that we got the perspective from the water boy,
ding.
I'm at about an 8 for this match. Again, you just said it, two guys with indie reputations that don't let up in the ring.
Daniel, welcome. Really?
So I'm at an 8 for that. I agree. Cedric's not ready yet. He needs to be training with Buddy Murphy to learn a little bit of timing, a little bit of pacing. Slow down, man. You got the rest of your career. AJ winning.
Okay.
I think the match I'm looking forward to the most is Humberto Carrillo against Drew Gulak. I'm at a 9. Okay. And if it's on the pre-show, I will watch it.
Okay.
Yeah. I think it's a triple threat now. I think it's
what?
Lince Dorado or something is in
there. Oh, he got in there?
Yeah, I forget.
Yeah, because there was something going on between all of them on 205, which we watched, still, but we'll get to that.
Yeah, but still. Gulak with the belt has been impressive, man. I wasn't expecting it to be any entertaining, but it's been good. And you know, for a while with that 205 belt, we had the same contenders. We had Cedric versus fucking Buddy Murphy for months, and then we had Cedric versus Mustafa Ali for months. Then we had Ali and Murphy for months. So and then we had Enzo for a while. It felt like a while with Enzo when he finally got the belt off of freaking. Oh, and we had Neville for a while.
Yeah,
even though that was a good gimmick, we had it for a while.
The king of the cruiserweights.
So now that we have, at least in my opinion, all the guys that I just named off, even with Buddy Murphy, because he was in the tag match, he was in the tag team with Wesley Blake, all of those guys were not foreign to me. I knew all of them.
Okay.
So when you're throwing me Gulak, when you're throwing me Oney Lorcan, when you're throwing me Humberto Carrillo, Lucha House Party be damned. I really don't know much about Lince Dorado. So okay. When we're getting fresh faces in the 205 title picture, you're hooking me. Okay. You know, and even when you go to NXT, that hook's still going to be in my mouth. You're going to just drag me to another lake. You know, I'm going to keep fishing because there's going to be some good stuff there. So I'm at about a 9 for this. If it's a triple threat, I'm still at a fucking 9.
And when is the last time that a pre-show cruiserweight title match has disappointed you?
Whew. No.
They've always exceeded your expectations. Always.
Credit where the devil's due. Even when Enzo had the title, he played to his strengths enough that the matches were tolerable, let alone some of them, depending on who it was, were actually pretty good. So, I'm at a 9 for that match. But within those three options, I'm definitely psyched for the cruiserweight.
I'm at an 8. I would like to see Humberto get it, but I don't know if it's
dale
his
gas,
time yet.
Dale gas.
I don't know if it's his time yet. Because I just got introduced to him. I think he's been around
at least 6 to 9 months. But you need to be watching 205 to catch him because he's not on every show.
But I really,
or NXT, he's been on NXT a couple of times.
I really like him.
He teamed with Raul Mendoza on NXT. Yeah, for a bit.
Okay. I like his style. I like it. He's very smooth and fluid. He's what Nyla Rose is not.
I don't know if that's racist, sexist, or fuck. I'm going to just skip that.
I'm just talking about fucking
who
ability in the ring.
Who you got winning?
Not Humberto.
Lince?
I think Gabagulek is going to retain.
Nakamura against The Miz for the Intercontinental title as the lowest stars.
Five.
What the fuck happened to Nakamura?
Sami Zayn?
Oh, he's not making things any better.
I guess. I don't know. No.
I want to give The Miz an opportunity to see if he can hang with somebody that can actually, like, strong style wrestle. Like, if The Miz in a loss, or even if he wins, if he takes a fucking raping from Nakamura the way Nakamura hurts people, other people, then my respect for him is on another level. But if it's watered down for The Miz's sake, I think the fear of that is why, among other things, as far as the build to Nakamura's character, that's why I'm not really feeling Nakamura right now.
I was all set and ready here to say that Nakamura is just going to keep the title because who gives a fuck about that title? And I don't,
Rexist.
And I don't think that they're going to give it to Miz, but Daniel Price brings up a good point in the live chat. Vince will put it on him just so he could tie Jericho for the record of the
Intercontinental title
reigns. Yeah, because if Jericho's out there living it up at the competition,
champion.
Vince has got to break his record. Vince has been notorious for making sure that records of people that he doesn't want to be in the history books anymore. You know, look at Punk, you know, with his historic reign. That got erased. You know, so did with Brie with AJ Lee. That got erased. Yeah, there's going to be, yeah. I think Daniel has a good point. You know, so why not Miz? Give the title to Miz. Let him lose it again and then win it again. And then he has 10 instead of 9. So he passes Jericho.
Women's tag match. Fire and Desire get a shot at Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross. What you think, man?
I like Bliss and Cross. I kind of like Fire and Desire. I think I'm going to go with an 8. I don't know if the in-ring is going to be all that great, but it could surprise me. But Mandy's really easy on the eyes. But so's Alexa. And I really like watching Nikki Cross wrestle. So
Sonya Deville's getting easy on the eyes too, man. Low key.
Okay.
This might be and it's weird I say this. This might be the first women's tag match that I'll be looking forward to since the finals in the Elimination Chamber. You actually have a team that has a team name, that has been a team for quite some time, that has been together for quite some time. You see both of them on the screen together, and you feel an instant rapport, like they belong together. Alexa and Nikki, for their benefit, have gotten there, but that wasn't organic. That was something that was thrown together last minute just because the tag team division needed tag teams.
Although their shirts are cute.
Now, and low key, Nikki's been getting into like shape. Like she's like, if you throw her in something a little scandalous, you won't believe it's her. Ding. I'm digging it. I'm at probably, and this is gonna shock people when I say this, I think I'm at a 9.
What the fuck? Are you serious?
For their benefit, their story's been told very well, and it hasn't been fucked up along the way where it just gives you reason to be like, nah. And even after Sasha trashed the tag division in her promo about complaining, these four girls have made me want to watch this match above men in this card.
Yeah.
You saw I gave my heartthrob Nakamura from New Japan a fucking 5.
You did?
And I'm giving these four women a 9, and they're all fully clothed. So this is that Ring of Honor picture where you know Ring of Honor is good wrestling because Maria Kanellis is ringside in booty shorts and everyone is looking inside the fucking ring.
Yeah.
This is what I'm feeling right now about these two tag team girls in this match.
Okay.
And I'm looking forward to this more than at least half of this show. And if I end up not watching this show on live on Sunday because I could probably find better things to do with my weekend, one of the first things I'm going to go back to before we record the next show is that match.
Daniel's got a hot take on this match in the live chat.
Of course he does.
He says, I think
fucking human torch over there. Hot takes everywhere.
I think Mandy and Sonya will win, and Nikki snaps and goes back to her old self.
Oh.
I don't think that's going to happen. No. That's not my prediction.
Not yet. Save that.
That's not my prediction because they just got those shirts. They got to have time to sell that shit.
Yeah, like right to AJ.
Yeah. Yeah, but if that happens, it'll be interesting. A little Broken Skull IPA right there, huh?
Smuggled straight from Los Angeles.
Los Angeles.
Yeah. I rarely fly Southwest, so they have the 2 free check bag rules. I took one empty just to bring beer back. Scott got his. I got mine. He got his seltzer water from Lagunitas with 10 milligrams of marijuana in it. And edibles. What's left? Oh, we're getting Usos against the Revival again for the SmackDown tag titles.
We are?
Yeah.
3-2. Great.
Usos?
No, Revival.
Okay.
Please.
Was it New Day against the Revival?
I think it
was New Day against the Revival. Yeah, New Day are the champions. New Day against Revival.
Oh, well then, 5-4. Okay.
Usos or New Day? Revival or New Day?
Who is the champ right now? New Day, right? Yeah. I guess New Day. I don't know. Okay. I don't care. Jimmy's got to get spanked. What? Okay.
Street fight within Roman Reigns and Eric Rowan.
Okay, I got to admit, it's not as bad as Rikishi being the one to run over Stone Cold. I was totally expecting Rowan to be a red herring, but I guess it's not. It was Rowan. Is Rowan ready for this? Am I ready to have Rowan be this guy? Is Rowan just going to lose to Roman Reigns? And that's the end of the story? Because, I mean, hey, you can't bet against Roman. So Roman is the guy that they've obviously invested a lot of time and effort in. Are they just building up an Umaga? Are they just building up a JBL? Are they just building up, whoever to, a Vladimir Kozlov to feed to the Cena of this day, which is Roman Reigns? Well, that fucking sucks. You spent the last month on this big whodunit just to have Eric job to Roman Reigns. Why? To get Roman over? That's not really going to get Roman over, but all right. And if Eric wins, okay, cool. I still don't really buy him being maniacal enough to want to kill Roman Reigns, but I guess he
not
is.
Just that. Rowan tried to kill a fan on SmackDown.
Yeah,
and they completely ignored it.
Yeah,
I'm gonna. I don't know where this is coming from.
And they ignored it. Yes, they did, Porsche.
I'm at an 8.
All right.
2 reasons. First, let's talk about Rowan. Right now, Rowan, in my opinion, judging by the way he's being presented against one of the top guys on the company right now, this is definitely a Paul Heyman project.
You think so?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
You hear Rowan talk with Daniel Bryan when Rowan first joined Daniel Bryan. He looked like he was still reading Hooked on Phonics. This guy now feels comfortable in the mic, feels comfortable under his own skin. It's not a character. It feels like him just being himself. And he's presenting himself. He's talking more fluently. He's talking more comfortably. I feel like that's the guy. That's him being himself. Maybe it's turned up to 10 or 11. I'm not sure if we've seen him go up that high up on the dial yet. But this is probably the most presentable I've seen Rowan, whether it's been the Wyatt family, a Hammer brother, or him being the lackey of Daniel Bryan. I think right now this is probably presentation-wise, this might be the best Eric Rowan that we've gotten.
Okay.
And on the other side, the segment on Raw where Roman comes out and starts talking about the cancer kids because it's September and it's Connor's cure and all the awareness. That's the Roman that I've been wanting forever. No suffering succotash. No, like, I'm a badass because my hair is moist and so are the vaginas that watch me when my hair is moist. When Roman Reigns is himself, he's the most the easiest to take in. Again, Attitude Era at its best, where when guys were themselves, whether it's turned up to 12 or when the time called for it, turned down to 8 or 7. And Roman showing the vulnerability of him because he's a former cancer survivor and beating leukemia and him actually doing mannerisms that aren't the typical strongman pose, him just being relaxed and talking to people face-to-face and being himself. The promo that he had with Rowan before he got his ass whooped by the boom camera. Dude, we need normal people in this in our wrestling for us to believe it. Not sometimes the over-the-top stuff doesn't work. Or sometimes the over-the-top stuff, if it's being too force-fed to us, we don't want it. But Roman being himself and Eric Rowan beating the fuck out of a normal Roman Reigns, it's empty. Like,
okay.
At the end of the segment,
look at it.
At the end of the segment, fuck me. I actually felt sympathy for a beaten the fuck up by a boom camera Roman Reigns.
Okay.
Give me normal Roman as somebody that is vulnerable. Instead of presenting him with the flak vest and, oh, I beat up Undertaker. This is my yard now. And I beat up John Cena and Samoa Joe and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Present him as a normal dude that's beating the fuck out of leukemia, who's going to make time to beat the fuck out of people that get in his way. I'm in, bro. I'm at an 8 for this. Of course, Roman's probably going to win, but knowing Paul Heyman, probably Rowan's going to look good losing. Maybe Rowan squeaks something out. And we still don't know what the fuck is going on with Daniel Bryan.
A couple of notes on there. So the first is, you're right. He did cut that promo. You're right. It is fucking Connor's cure fucking month. So, of course Roman's not going to fucking lose. I was kind of teetering on the edge saying, you know what? Maybe they're going to go ahead and give it to Rowan. And that would be more interesting. And maybe I'm going to hold out a little bit of
hope. Wait till October, Rowan.
Until you fucking reminded me. And no, you can't wait till October because that's fucking breast cancer awareness month.
Last time I checked, neither one of them got breasts.
That's true, but unless
Roman's wearing that vest for a
reason. Come on now. Like, so, no, he's not going to fucking lose. He's not going to lose this month. He's going to be out there representing those kiddos. So, yeah, he's going to win it. So, damn, oh, that disappointed me. Now, the second note that I have about that, all that stuff that you said, about how now he's relatable and, you know, he was himself and, you know, he was relaxed and that kind of. The minute I saw the fucking C for the Connor's cure and I saw, oh, this is going to be one of those Connor cure things, I hit fast forward and I didn't watch the fucking promo and I totally forgot about it. So the one time that he's going to be fucking relatable is when it's one of these things that's like, gagging.
And you know my feeling about Connor the Crusher and all that other stuff.
Yeah, but but that's still kind of along the same fucking vein as when they do Black History Month and when they
and all the whites still win.
And they do the fucking breast cancer stuff. You primarily too are like, oh, okay, I get it. Yeah, save this for the network. Save wrestling. Oh, you're taking up fucking 15 minutes where we could have had a match. You know, so it's like I fucking fast forwarded through it. And that sucks that that's the only time that we get the real Roman. All that being said, Daniel in the live chat, or excuse me, Robert in the live chat says this. It feels like they rushed Rowan as the attacker. Yes, that's how I feel as
well. Which is weird because Roman got hit by a car 2 months ago.
Yeah. Because they suddenly want D-Bry as a face on Fox on SmackDown. Is that what it is? Did they fucking pivot? Was this not what the original plan was? Was D-Bry supposed to be the bad guy this entire time? And then Fox was like, hold on a minute, player. We want that yes, yes guy. We don't want him to be no, no. We want to cheer for that little gremlin. You think that's what happened?
I have no idea. Throw me a curveball. Put Brian on NXT.
Daniel says the only problem with the idea of Rowan winning is that whoever gets the better of the other person on the go home usually loses at their pay-per-view.
That law of reverse momentum doesn't always happen with everyone.
Yeah.
Overall, Clash of the Champions.
7.
6. Yeah, 6.5.
I could miss this, but I'm probably not gonna. But I could if I had to miss it.
If another option
later.
If another option's available, I might take it instead. So a couple of notes as we wind down the show. I probably am one of the very small minority that still watches 205 because 2 minutes into last night's episode, holy fuck, that's Rich Brennan!
Rich Brennan? Dumbass?
Brennan Williams.
Oh, yes.
It's a pint of beer here.
There you go.
It's IPA. It's pretty good.
Yeah. Holy fuck, Brennan! Brennan made his WWE, I guess, main roster debut? I don't know. It's 205 Live.
In Madison Square Garden!
Holy fuck.
Wow.
As a commentator, as D.O. Madden. But yeah, the former unofficial fourth co-host of Houston Wrestling Radio.
Oh, shit!
Dunn fucking made it to the big time.
Hector's got a shot.
Which, that's fucking awesome, man. I was watching SmackDown, but like I was watching it on DVR, so I was like 10 minutes behind. You put that in the group chat. Holy fuck! And I was like, I'm fast-forwarding through this main event so I can get to 205 Live, of all things. And sure enough, there's Brennan. Holy fuck, man. That was so cool seeing him on there. I'm very happy. I'm very proud of him.
One half a Choco Taco.
Yes, Choco Taco. dude, that was pretty fucking cool, man. I'm really happy for the guy. All that being said, okay.
He needs a little work.
Yes, he does need a
little bit of work.
I could tell he was a little green on there.
So was I on my first time here on this show.
Yeah, of course.
So was Arnold the first time here on this show.
Daniel, so was Arnold the last time he was on this show.
Oh, yeah, that's Arnold. Yeah. That's Aaron every show he does.
Yeah, that's true.
You know,
that's
it happens. Yeah, it happens. Yeah. But congratulations.
Yes, congratulations.
Very happy for him.
Yeah, timing is going to get better. I mean, it's going to happen. His timing was a little bit off. I could tell there was awkward pauses when Aiden English and Vic were like stop expecting somebody else to say something, and I'm guessing that somebody else was supposed to be Dio and he didn't say anything.
I would think, as a big fan of wrestling that Brennan is, I think he was probably just as swept up in the moment as fans of him.
Sure.
Like, he's looking up at the ceiling like, this is Madison Square Garden, I'm right underneath the center. Like, and then he's looking at the ring, he's ringside. He must have gotten word maybe a day or two, maybe a couple of days more that he was doing this. So for him, like, one day to train for a match and then the next day he's like suit shopping to go fucking be on the commentary team. I bet that that first moment was he was just swept away in the moment and just lost half the time.
So, I mean, aside from, you know, the timing issues, which, I mean, that's forgivable and that's understandable. We understand that could happen. I mean, shit, I've had timing issues when I was doing, you know, commentary and stuff. I mean, I know it was just a few times. It's not that much, but
it's not as bad as throwing up watermelons in the match.
That's true. Can't do that. but the few things that he did fucking get in there, the few times that he, like said some stuff.
We all love Kush. Yeah, we do. Yeah, it's time.
When All the luchadors were doing their fucking high spots. It's raining men. Like, God damn it, Brennan. When he started, like, saying, like, fucking Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles references.
Yeah, he's like, Raphael. He's the bully. He wants to fight. He wants to hit everything.
All right. But, yeah. That's right. Brennan right there.
Yeah.
Because you said it before the episode was even over. You were I think, to telling this to Travis. It's like, well, I think he said, oh, wait, he's not wrestling. You said something to the effect of, well, somebody higher up must have found out that he fucking has a personality and said, you know what? Let's just put you on the mic, which he does. Holy shit, this guy is half very of charismatic. His
up, up, down, down episodes, he's cool, man.
Yeah, he's cool. He's got a personality.
Everybody's learning secondhand what we know firsthand about Brennan.
Well, we knew a long fucking time ago.
Well, whose fault is that?
Yeah. Yeah, man.
Pass that along to the missus, so she passes it along to him, so that he comes down here, we whip his ass on Mario Kart.
Oh, did you hear that?
Yeah.
Bing! Da, 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 da. Yeah.
Or do I have to say something like, football players make bad commentators for you to come back to the show? Do we have to do this again, Brennan? Do we? Oh, my heart, man. That was good.
Yeah, that was good, man. I'm happy for you. All that being said, we come to find out, oh shit, he's gonna take over his spot on 205 Live. That's great. And 205 Live away. God damn it. So hey, we're gonna give you an opportunity, man. You're gonna become the commentator on a show that we're discontinuing. Well, what the fuck? Damn it.
Just so you know, Brennan. We've been needing a reliable third for quite some time.
That is true.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was kind of like, hey, we want you to be the fucking ring announcer and the video guy for the commentary for Lone Star Championship Wrestling. Oh, man, that's great. Oh, by the way, we're closing down. Fuck!
Look on the list.
It seems very familiar, doesn't it, Brennan? Goddamn. Brennan, I feel your pain.
If you need some help, Coronet, James E. Coronet is going to be doing commentary for the weekly NWA show. That was announced today.
Oh, corny.
Yep. In case you haven't gotten enough from him on the podcast, talking about outlaw wrestling and fuck that goddamn Sammy Callahan and all this other shit.
Yeah.
But, man, he's going to be fun.
Probably.
Yeah. Wrestling brands are starting to get into the nostalgia trip again. You know, JR, Tony Schiavone in AEW, and then James E. back in fucking NWA. Man, I thought maybe like 2 years ago, when we had Okada versus Omega as our match of the year, I was thinking that we were like in the top of the wrestling renaissance again.
Okay.
That it couldn't get better, that we couldn't be spoiled by any more riches. 2019 is going to end with 2 hours of NXT, 3 hours of Raw, 2 hours of SmackDown on Fox, New Japan Pro Wrestling, WOW Women of Wrestling, Impact on an actual station.
Yep.
and fucking NWA on Sunday mornings.
With a bowl of cereal instead of going to church.
Shit.
Yeah. That's how you
go out in a decade, bro.
That brings me to a point that I told you that I want to bring up later, earlier in the show. Okay? And that's this. When we first started Houston Wrestling Radio, I kind of had high hopes. High hopes that as the podcast, maybe somebody will listen to it. Somebody will kind of pick it up. And then maybe we can make ourselves onto terrestrial radio. Maybe we could be on Sports Radio 610.
Oh, you're going to break the news right now to them?
Shut up. Or maybe at some point, this is going to catch on enough to where we could make money from this, whether it's in a podcast form or something. Kind of thinking that our idea was original, not that there was other fucking 300-500 wrestling podcasts on Podbean. But that's when my paradigm shifted a little bit, and it was more like, goddamn, there's so many of us just doing it ourselves, ragtag marks like me and you, that, you know what, there is a void in the market. There's a void in the sports talk market for wrestling. Because people are listening to it, because people are making it, just nobody's getting paid for it, because somebody that's a backer isn't actually saying, hey, you know what, we recognize this void, and if there's all these fucking marks that are listening to it, because other marks are making it, if we could harness this,
maybe we could actually make a show and pay people to do it. And at that time, that's when it was 2 hours of SmackDown, or excuse me, 2 hours of Raw. SmackDown was just a Raw week recap. And then there was NXT, or excuse me, TNA, and then that's it. So just really 4 real hours worth of wrestling that you had to actually watch. But now, NXT, SmackDown, Raw.
205.
Well, 205 is going away. But NXT UK, New Japan, and AEW, all of these hours worth of wrestling has made me further convinced that if now is more of a time than ever for somebody to fucking take those blinders off that actually works at a place that like has actual programming for sports talk, that actually has money, somebody at CBS Radio or something like that, to be like, holy fuck, there's a lot of content out there. So the people that are actually talking about this, maybe they should get compensated, because you know what? This is a full-time job. I could watch all of those hours worth of wrestling and get onto a microphone and talk about it if I had enough hours in the day. The only way I'd have enough hours in the day is if I didn't have to go to work for a living. That's how these fucking sports analysts and sports types do it. They don't just watch the Texans and the Rockets and the Astros. They also watch all the other sports teams all around the country. So when they're not in studio for the 4 hours of the day that they're there, they're prepping all day long, watching MLB Network, NBA Network, NFL Sunday Ticket. They're watching all this shit. That's why they get paid for it. Wrestling might actually be at the precipice of that actually fucking happening. And somebody please listen to me.
He's using a lot of big words. This is his verbal resume for somebody to pay us.
Listen to me and realize there is that void in the market that can be filled. Somebody needs to fill that fucking void. It's there. There's enough content where you could fill 4 hours a day or 2 hours a day, daily or at least weekly, where there's enough content for us to talk about it in a very deep and insightful manner. That's my plea. That's my manifesto. If it's not me, God damn it, at least let it be someone that's either already been in the fucking business or somebody that's had a successful podcast or YouTube show. I understand ours isn't as successful as it could have been, but God damn it. God damn it. At some point, it should have done happened, especially now.
Must have had a rough week, brother. Do you want me to hold you? Come here.
Mic drop.
Come here. Oh, come here.
Oh,
that's it, guys. That's the show for the week. That's it. I can't top that.
Adios, my friends. Keep it classy.